This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now. Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Ah.
Welcome back.
Let's go.
All right.
I know I left, though, to leave the crappy weather, and as soon as I leave, you guys have, like, the two best days of the year.
It was rather glorious.
I'm not going to lie.
What in the hell?
It wasn't rather. It was great.
You know, didn't we get, like, 70 degrees?
Yes. I think it hit 70 on Friday.
Cool. I go down to the desert.
Or maybe Saturday.
To watch a little baseball and get some good weather. And what do we get here? As soon as I leave. From like 49 and raining to 70 degrees, and I like everyone's just like posting, oh my God, this is the best weather. I'm like, oh, cool. Glad I was, and now I'm back, and we're right back to the 50s and raining.
Does that make you, do you get jealous of that?
Well, no, because it was 80 degrees and sunny down in Arizona, but the whole point is like you're trying to escape the bad weather, and I didn't escape the bad weather. I just traded great weather, or I traded good weather for slightly better weather, and now I'm back to crappy weather. I don't like it.
Yeah, see, we talked about this on Friday.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Thursday. I don't know.
It was one of those great days.
But we were talking about this, that when you go on a vacation to get out of the Oregon winters,
yes,
does it bother you when it's nice at home?
The answer to that question, yes.
See, not for us. Buckley and I decided we are not bothered by that. However, we are a little bit, what would be the word? We get a little cocky,
mm-hmm,
when we're out there in 80-degree weather in, say, Hawaii, and it's really cold and rainy and crappy here.
Yeah.
It's like, ah.
Well, and that's, you know, my thing. I don't, what's the best word? I'm not bitter that you guys got great weather. I'm glad you got great weather. But, again, it defeats the purpose. Like, we're in the midst of the NFL draft now, the whole combine. I didn't get good weather draft capital. Right? Like, you don't draft a guard with the number two overall pick because it's poor draft capital. I feel like I got poor weather capital. I did not get the value of my trip to Arizona. The whole point is to leave bad weather. But when you leave good weather for slightly better weather, yes, 80 degrees is better than what you guys had, but not at the value that I paid. And that in is the rub. That's not how you build good weather rosters. It's
just
not.
So what you should have done was, when you were invited to spring training, you should have said, "Well, let me check the weather."
Well, how could I have known?
Well, you could have known because they have they're called weather forecasts.
A month in advance?
It wasn't a month. You said you got invited there like last week.
Oh no. No, this has been a...
But yes, they do have a month, but it's just not as accurate.
It's real accurate.
It's not as accurate.
Yeah.
But then, if you want weather capital, mm-hmm, you can get it. You just have to be willing to travel on short notice.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say this, too.
And you're not willing to do that.
The big controversy, because we went to the... I wanted to go down and see a Dodgers game. That didn't happen. Holy cow. Turns out that Ohtani guy, everyone pays a lot of money to see him play.
Well, and he hit a home run, right?
They wanted $200 to get into that Dodgers spring training
game. I reported that to the people on Friday. We all were in agreement with you. Just go watch a real team.
Yeah.
Go watch the Royals.
Although, can I also point out, so I go see Kansas City Royals.
Yes.
They didn't play anybody.
I know.
Like, nobody.
I felt bad for you.
And the Diamondbacks played everyone. I get to see Carol.
Well, can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
They don't really have anybody other than Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
And if you want to watch Salvi for one last go around.
No, neither one.
They neither played.
No.
I know Witt didn't play. Salvi didn't play either?
No, he did not. And this is my rub that I have with the Royals. I understand that when I get to the eighth and ninth inning, there's going to be number 92 up at the plate. Sixth inning, Kansas City, we're pulling the cord. In the sixth inning, Big Fat 71 comes up. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Who's that?
I don't know.
For our Royals?
For the Royals. Some big fat guy named, it was number 71. And you're like, well, you're not making the roster. One, you look like Vogelbach. And two, you're number 71. And then I'm like, eh, whatever. So at this point, no one. And then two batters later, they send up a skinnier 70. Two 71s? They were playing guys so bad, they're doubling up the number 71.
How many guys are in a camp?
I don't know.
For a team.
But enough where the Royals ran up in two innings. I saw two 71s, a 92, and an 88. And by the way, not in the ninth inning. Not okay, Kansas City. Not okay. But I paid like $40 and it was 80 degrees and I sat four rows behind home plate. It was fantastic. They had Chick-fil-A. And I will say, of the stadiums, Kansas City spring training facility, or I guess that's not Kansas City, that'd be Arizona's, delightful. Spring, what was it? It was a Native American, Springbrook or something. Very nice stadium to see a ball game.
I'm looking at their spring training stats. They have like 75 guys who have had an at-bat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the only downside.
That includes pitchers, but...
That's the only downside is when you just like, you show up and you're like, whatever.
I can't even tell you who number 71 is, much less skinny 71.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will tell you, skinny 71 looked a lot better than fat. Fat 71 hit a ball to the shortstop. And look, I'll tell you what. It was a nice play by the shortstop to dig it out. Everyone immediately turned and was like, how did that guy get beat out? I think he was running like that for a 40-yard dash. That dude's running like a 7.3. Like it was a little shocking to see him on a major league roster. He should not have been there. I guess the spring training roster.
Now, would you know the name if I said it?
No, I have no idea. He didn't have the name on the back of his jersey.
Yeah.
No, they were sat there. Although they were wearing the light blue caps, and I'll tell you what, they look like a great team out there.
Yeah, well, they'll be fine.
You know the big controversy, though?
This year.
Down in Arizona.
What's that?
The wind. Lot of big talk about a slight... You know how soft the people of Arizona are? And I told my buddy I'm making fun of him. So I get down there, and he's got a place. He's holed up at, like, North Troon, the Four Seasons up there.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's living the good life.
Rough.
Right. So I'm up there. And so we're driving in. Gorgeous, right? Land Thursday morning. It's fantastic. We're on the way out there, and we're pulling in, and I'm like, oh, my God, this weather's amazing. And he goes, yeah, you know, the wind, though. And I thought he was pulling my leg. I thought he was kind of doing the, you know, it's beautiful here, but, you know, hey, check out this wind. There is, like, a slight breeze. We go to check in to the place, right? I get my own key, and the lady at the front desk, guess the first thing she tells him? Hey, you believe this wind? And I'm like, what? Everywhere we go, everyone down there just keeps talking about this wind. We're talking like 7 mile an hour wind gusts.
Seven?
Dude, it wasn't even enough when sitting at the pool to blow anything over. If I can have a paper cup and a napkin on the table and nothing blows off, that's not wind. Everyone at the pool. There's like levels to the pool. And I heard people like, is the lower level, will that protect me from this wind? The retirees of Arizona have gotten far too complacent and soft.
Well, don't they deserve that? I mean, they're retired.
A light wind?
I mean, I strive to be of the ilk where I can complain about 65 degrees being frigid.
Yeah.
And 7 mile an hour winds being, I don't know, annoying.
Oh, yeah. It cleared at one point.
I want to be that.
It cleared the pool. Like, I'm sitting there. It's
was
like
it cloudy?
It's like 78. No, there's not a cloud in the sky. It's like 78. It's like 3:30, and I'm like, there's no one around. I'm like, what's going on? And I look at my buddy. He's like, hey, man, the wind. He's been down there for like 5 weeks, and he's already turned into an Arizonan. He can't handle the wind.
They wouldn't like Hawaii then.
No.
You know?
But that's how soft you are. Just forewarn you, if you move to Arizona, be prepared. A slight breeze, ruin your whole afternoon. Can't handle it.
Well,
he's
like
a bitch.
I'm okay with it. If I ever get to that place in life, I've won. You know, because that's what you want.
Yeah.
You don't want bad weather. You want shockingly mild weather to be obnoxious to you because your weather is so good. That's what you strive for in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I want to be one of those people.
Yeah. Head to...
And I tell you what.
Head up to Troon.
Now that I know this about you, for as long as we do this show, and even after we do this show, I'm always going to text you. When if I ever get to good weather where it's like, oh man, Sook, it's 68. Gotta get out my parka.
This wind.
I'm gonna text you about it and complain.
Oh yeah. Oh dude, when it would dip to like 74, people are breaking out sweatshirts and pants. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right. Yeah. It's chilly.
Can't handle it. A lot of leathery skin as well. Lot of that. Lot of.
I want that too.
Oh yeah, dude. There's like a saddlebag with eyes cruising around down there.
I'm kind of jealous of that old guy who, and I think it's just a skin type. Like, I don't think anybody can be that way.
I think you can if you just spend enough time.
I don't think you can.
I saw a guy down there who was the consistency of beef jerky. You know where he was from? Winnipeg. From Winnipeg.
Yeah, but I just think he's a skin type.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I think you go down there enough times and it's a dehydration process.
And how do they do that? Like, do they wear sunscreen?
No.
At all?
No, you just...
So then
It's just a
burn?
It's a gradual process.
So they don't burn?
Maybe you start off with the sunblock and then you just taper off like a medication. And then eventually you're just down there enough where you become so leathery, nothing can penetrate that skin. And I mean nothing. There were ladies down there that looked... I mean, I'm not... You know, hey, you're like 80 years old. You deserve whatever. But there were some ladies down there that
that's what I'm saying.
You could literally make luggage out of their skin. And you're
girl,
like,
you something else.
How does that happen?
It's like the woman from
Something About Mary.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah,
oh, dude,
yeah.
There's, I saw a half dozen of those people at any given time walking around. A lot of that, and a lot of Midwestern folk. I thought we'd get a lot of like what? No, man, they're everyone Midwest. Right in the middle of the country. A lot of North Dakota. The guy I sat by at the Royals game, lovely individual there with his grandson. Good North Dakota guy. Full-on North Dakota accent. A lot of Minnesota. Yeah, you know, got some good Wisconsin folk down there.
Now, they're all down there to see their teams?
Yeah, they just retired down there.
They just retired. Yeah, oh, you're retired. Saying the locals.
Yeah, the locals. Yeah. No, the North Dakota guy was wearing a lot of Yankee gear. And so I was like, hey, you from New York? And he's like, no. From North Dakota. I was like, oh, Diamondbacks Royals game wearing nothing but Yankee gear, Yankee shorts, Yankee shirt, Yankee hat.
What?
From North Dakota. Don't know. But he was a wonderful man and he shared his popcorn with me.
Great.
We bonded. He's a great guy.
So did you go see, so Otani hit a home run.
Otani hit a home run.
So they wanted $200 for tickets.
Yeah.
But he did deliver.
He did deliver.
Did you see any challenges?
Yeah, there was a challenge in the... Which one was that? Yeah, in fact, that was the first one. The Arizona KC, they challenged. And we didn't even know it was going on. It was like...
Yeah, it was so fast.
It was so fast.
Yeah.
But that was like one of those... In fact, that was the North Dakota guy turned to me and was like, hey, this had a challenge? I was like, what? You know, because you're not really paying... I think I had a Chick-fil-A going. I
See,
wasn't
that's
really
the thing
paying
about,
much attention. It was fast.
But that's... Well, we were talking about that while you were gone, is that these challenges are pretty sweet because they're really, really fast, way faster than you would think.
Yeah.
They're kind of fun because they're dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And they're proving that the players have no idea where the strike zone
is.
Because they're
whatsoever.
All failing right and left.
Exactly.
But at any rate, so that won't be in Major League Baseball this
it
year.
Should.
But they're fast tracking it. They'll get it there.
Well, and the robot umps, and that was the other big discussion. Because when you're down there, the olds want to chat with you, right? So you get a lot of casual conversation. And a lot of old baseball guys. And I was expecting the old get off my lawn, but everyone wanted, because we were talking about the challenges. That was a topic of conversation. Almost everyone wants the automatic strike zone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Well, I just thought, you know, hey.
Old
the,
people?
The average age down there is like 1,000 years old. I'm sitting next to Lazarus and like Methuselah. And so you just expect that to be kind of the, hey, back in my day.
See, I think it's the weather.
That's what it is?
Yeah. They're much friendlier down there because they're in nice weather.
Yeah, they all wanted the... They all wanted the robotic strike zone.
Look, when it gets windy, and by windy I'm using air quotes, 7 miles per hour, and you're griping about it, you live in good weather, you're inherently happier.
It's true.
You know?
White Sox Mariners 18-9 if you're into
nice.
If you're into that. So yeah, I just think but if you've never been down to spring training, go down. It's a great time. And yes, some of the tickets are a little more expensive than you think. You're not getting in for like, because I went down 20 years ago and you could literally get in for like $5. It's definitely become more of an industry. The ballparks are nicer, there's more of them, but you can sit in the outfield, and like minus the Dodgers, you can sit on a blanket in the outfield, and all the stadiums have the same layout. And you can do the festival seating for $15 to $20. You can get a good spot down one of the baselines for $25, and you can sit behind home plate, like first 10 rows for $40.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't know this because I've never been there. But it seems ridiculous to pay $200 for a ticket to a spring training game, because the reality of spring training is you don't really care who you're watching.
No.
Like, you're just – it's the vibe.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, even if some number 71 who's never going to make the roster is up there and he hits a home run, that's fun.
Sure.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's really all you care about.
I'll tell you what. One of the highlights was Big Fat 71 not beating out the throw where the shortstop had to dive for it, do like three somersaults, do like a crossword puzzle, get up and still throw him out. It was one of the highlights of the game because we were like, oh my God.
A little slow.
Yeah, did you see that? Like, people are buzzing about that. And then the best is...
Yeah, that went viral. I saw that over the weekend.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I saw this play because it was like...
Are you serious?
I had enough time to make a ham sandwich and get it to first.
I'm telling you...
It was something else.
You've never seen someone run slower... Down, I would have bet you when he hit that ball in the shortstop field, and I would have bet you $10,000 that guy is safe at first. I think he could have blown a hammy, and then they would have brought him out of wheelchair, and they could have made it to first.
It was remarkable he didn't make it.
And he still got beat out. Big Fat 71.
Well, now I want to know who that is.
I don't know, but he can't run at all. But the other fun part is, after a certain point, you know, they take out the starters. Like, Arizona played all their guys. The Giants had some starters. And when they're done, they just leave. Like, they don't leave the field. They leave the stadium. You just see them walking out. They, like, grab their little bag, and it's like, deuces.
And I don't know if they still do it, but I thought it was jarring when I went the first time, was, like, the fact that when pitchers or someone's, like, on their off day and they're done with their workout, they just like run sprints and laps in the outfield while the game's going on. like it's so casual.
Yeah. Dude, guys, there's a little outfield wall out there, and you see them, it's like walking into the Field of Dreams corn. And you just leave, and then they're like, yeah, man, I got a tea time. I'm out of here. Guys, before games, there was one dude, it might have been Marte, I think, for he was literally doing like grass angels. He was just sitting out like in mid center field. I don't really know what he was doing, other than it just looked like he was, dare I say, there was a frolic in center field. And he just was out there. And by the way, this is like 10 minutes before like the start of the game. And we're like, wow, this is slightly different than like NFL preseason. It's great. It's a great vibe down there. No one cares.
And that would be why you don't pay $200 for a seat.
Yeah. Although it would have been cool to see him hit a home run, but.
Now, before the end of today's show, I'm going to figure out who number 71 was.
Good luck with that.
Well, I mean, I've got the box score here.
Okay.
So it's, and I know half the guys, the other half I don't.
Yeah, because the problem is on a lot of those, there's no roster for these guys. Like, they're not on.
Yeah.
They're not on a roster. They're just like camp invites.
And you said if I said it, you wouldn't know it.
He didn't have a name on the back of his jersey.
What inning did he ground out?
I want to say this is like seventh, eighth, somewhere in there.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
That'll narrow it down.
Seventh, eighth. And again, there's another 71 that came up. So that was the interesting part. Because we were making fun of the fact that like 92 is out there for the Royals. Which, by the way, if you're wondering if you're making the Kansas City Royals and they hit you with 92, brother, you ain't making that squad.
Yeah, you got no chance.
No, you got no chance.
So wait, it was the shortstop that made the play or the second baseman?
No, it was the shortstop.
Okay.
Yeah, he grounded to the shortstop, and the shortstop dove, had a game of Parcheesi, I think high-fived the third baseman, and they may have crocheted something and still threw him out. It was quite alarming.
Okay.
So it would have been a ground out to short.
Mm-hmm. A lot of ground outs to second I'm seeing here.
Well, there was a lot of ground outs, period. You guys scored one run. It was not necessarily an offensive explosion on the part of the backup Kansas City Royals.
Well, you saw Melendez hit a home run.
Yeah, he got one.
That's the first thing he's ever done in a Royals uniform ever.
That was the only highlight, because I think it was 6-1, right? It was no White Sox Mariners. Like I said, 18-9. No. Well, now you got something to do
well,
during the break.
I thought I was close to it, but I don't see it. I'm on it. I'm on the scent. I'm going to find this
out.
You
want to know who this is.
I do. And I want to find the video of the highlight of it, or the low light.
It is. It's bad. It was the buzz.
All right.
Well, it was the biggest buzz the Royals created that game.
I would say it was a big sports weekend, but it wasn't.
Combine.
We got the combine. We're going to have a Debo segment.
Yeah, we got a couple trades. And some re-signings, right? We got the Stafford domino that fell.
And did you have the Denny Avdia triple-double on your weekend radar?
No. I believe Danny was touching himself to that near win on the part of the Portland Trailblazers.
That guy.
Oh. You've never seen someone get so fired up over an overtime loss. And by the way, hey, just so you know, the Blazers don't need to do anything. That core going forward, it's all you need. A near loss in overtime, team set.
Yeah. I was looking at the, well, we'll get into it. Okay, let's start with the hot combine review next on The Fan. Well, I believe that big number 71 that you watched for my Royals, our Royals.
Yeah.
I believe that is a guy by the name of Cale Emshoff.
And here's the thing. I looked at his photos. If that's Cale Emshoff, then he let himself go. And it's weird because I said there were two 71s. There was a skinnier 71. And I'm like, well, that has to be the skinnier one. But he's a catcher. That leads me to believe that he just got fat. But from the photos, he doesn't look that beefy. And he grounded out the second. It is possible that the second baseman made the play on the other side of the bag.
Yeah, so the only play that matches your criteria here or what you think you saw is in the top of the eighth where he grounded out to second.
And that probably was the second baseman going to the other side. Thought it was the shortstop, but it's possible that the second baseman came across the bag, made the play, knitted or crocheted something, talked to the shortstop, and then threw out fat ass 71.
But I will tell you that in that particular game, there appears to be no other 71 who played.
Well, that's incorrect. There were two 71s and a 92.
Yeah, 94 I see here.
Nope, 92, he was a black guy. Is it possible that the Royals didn't care and they're just randomly putting in jerseys?
It's possible that they're just swapping jerseys.
It's possible, because like I said,
they don't have enough jerseys to go around.
Two 71s and a 92. Believe me, the two 71s was, again, it was the talk of the crowd. Like, how do you have two 71s? Like, are you that bad that you get a crappy number and you get doubled up?
Yeah. Well, all right. My research continues, but I'm on.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the clip too, and I can't find it now.
Cale Emshoff.
I think we believe that to be the culprit.
That's one of them. That also is definitely one of the 71s. I don't know if he's the fat one or the skinny one, but
well, isn't it interesting that there's a 94 but not a 92? And I know for a fact 92 played.
All right. Well, anyway,
and there is no 92
because you care so much. We'll get to the bottom of this. For you. We're not going to let that.
Spring training, and this is the beauty part of spring training. No one cares.
We're not letting that go.
They're like, I don't know. Here, take a jersey. You're not making the team go hit.
It's entirely possible that the equipment staff has taken spring training off, or they're getting in, rounding into midseason form, and they're letting some other people do the unis for the day.
I don't know.
Intern going to try his hand to get all the numbers right.
I've never seen two numbers. I've never seen two of the same number come up like back to back, like one inning apart. Never seen that.
All right, well, now we have to break again.
Okay.
I'm glad we are on the case, though.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for hot
71 talk.
Royals roster discussion.
And their one run that they put up.
But for now, I'm going to have to quarantine that to the breaks.
I understand.
Can't take the whole show figure that out.
Eventually, we'll get to the combine.
It would not be an award-winning program, I don't think, if that were the case, would it now?
No.
Let's do a Debo. Oh, no, wait. We're going to do hot combine.
Combine then Debo?
Yeah.
Hey, Debo.
I want to do a Debo seg, but we'll get to the hot combine.
You want me to crap all over the Debo trade? Because I will.
Well, I know you don't like him, but.
Well, I don't like receivers over the age of 30 that are coming off bad years.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we'll do that. Yeah. But the combine came and went.
Yes.
We didn't get a lot of clarity on much of anything because we never do. But because there's nothing going on this time of year, we like to think that we.
Yeah.
We'll give you a bunch of hot takes.
Sure. We got some duck takes on that. I think the quarterback situation shuffled itself out. Seems to be a consensus on that. So a lot of guys.
I don't think there is. Is there?
There is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's.
I can't wait to hear it.
At number one, there is. After that.
All right, we'll get to the Combine Review 2025 edition next. Here's Buck. Well, my mastery, it only took me two seggies.
You got it.
Number 71 in your program and now in your hearts was indeed Cale Emshoff. He's the fat 71.
And even though he's listed as 74.
Yeah, he was number 71 in the box score.
There's two 71.
And the other 71 was Daniel Vasquez. So the fat one who got thrown out by the second baseman is Cale Emshoff. Yeah. The skinny one is 6'2", 150, Daniel Vasquez from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And then number 90, you say 92 or 94?
92
is Tyler Tolbert.
Went 0-2.
Who is not going to play here.
I love spring training where it's like, I don't know. Just go. And by the way, all non-roster invitees, by the way.
Well, I looked at the Royals non-roster invitees list, and none, like, Emshoff isn't even on that.
He's not on it. And yet he's there.
So I don't know.
Oh,
is that how informal spring training is?
I think that's how informal. I think Emshoff was sitting in the bleachers. He might have been over by me having a delicious Chick-fil-A sandwich, and they're like, hey, man, it's the seventh inning. We need someone. He's like, I got this. I got you. Give me a uni. I'm out there.
Now, Tolbert is on the non-roster invitees list, and he was actually a 13th-round pick of theirs.
He sucks, too.
In 2019.
Just so you know.
And then the other 71, we said Daniel Vasquez, also not on the list. So I think they found two 71s that day.
I love it.
To spite you.
Hey, it created buzz. I needed something to watch in that game, and I gave you fat and skinny 71.
Ladies and gentlemen, we did it. Now we're looking for the Emshoff highlight.
Yeah, I searched him by name, and I'm not sure internet knew who he was,
no
and therefore, when you search his name, you don't find the highlight because no one knows him.
No one knows who he is. He came out of the stands.
I love baseball.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Are we ready for baseball?
When's
opening day? Anybody got that off the...
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Feels like it's... Let's see. I'm going to get that, and then we're going to get to the combine, damn it.
Yes.
March 27th.
There you go.
Thursday, March 27th.
Right around the corner, a couple weeks.
God, that's great.
Yeah, let's go.
So you say we have clarity on the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, it seems that without question now. And by the way, the unclarity might be at number two. Everyone, and look, I know a lot of the combine is just groupthink, but it's the only way to do it because it just takes one team to change. You know, like you can be like, everyone has a kid going as the fourth quarterback. But if one team thinks he's the second quarterback, that changes. But the unquestioned... narrative coming out of the combine is that Cam Ward has distanced himself by a mile.
Oh,
that Cam
over Shadur.
Shadur, I heard from multiple people that are there at the combine that do this, that are in tight, that swear that there are a number of teams, not two or three, double-digit teams that don't even have Shadur Sanders as the second-best quarterback, that the buzz is that some people have Shadur Sanders as the second quarterback and some people have Shadur Sanders as the fifth quarterback. So there's a huge gap between Cam Ward and Shadur Sanders. All of a sudden you're getting some Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, former Oregon, former Louisville, former Texas Tech quarterback. He apparently has entered into this mix. So Sanders, he didn't do anything at the combine, but he is not a physical specimen. And there's huge questions about him. And if you're taking a flyer on someone that is not a physical specimen, you need to be wowed. And I guess Sanders in the interview in the dry board didn't wow anybody. And so already teams had concerns, not only concerns about his on-field stuff, but he's a guy that isn't going to be for everybody. You know what you're getting. You're getting a Cam Newton brand. And you know, there's a lot of NFL teams that don't want Cam Newton brands if the guy doesn't bring Cam Newton ability. And when you watch Shadur Sanders, he's a good processor. He throws the ball accurately. He's not a big guy. He's not a particularly fast guy. He has no pocket presence, but that's not really his fault. He doesn't play in a pocket because he doesn't have one. He's a running backwards quarterback, which for me is I hate it. If I'm looking at one thing I can't have my quarterback do, I can't have quarterbacks that bail backwards. No one bails backwards like Shadur Sanders. But again, that may not be his fault because he has no pocket. But you can only go off of what you have in front of you. So it sounds like Cam Ward, without question, quarterback one. Shadur Sanders right now, and he'll have his pro day and his chance to do whatever. But it sounds like Shadur Sanders, there was this idea that Ward and Sanders 1-2, and it's not. it's Ward 1 and Sanders maybe 3 or 4.
That's funny because I read just a little bit ago, I read a story that said no clarity on Sanders versus Ward.
There's clarity.
And it also said that they are identical in size, but Ward has smaller hands and shorter arms.
If you listen to the people that actually do this, that are there on the ground and have been there and actually talk to the people, universally, they all came away saying Cam Ward was impressive. People like Cam Ward. And when you're at the combine, you can talk to scouts. And again, you can get a general feel for what's happening. And I haven't heard one person that I think has a real good ear to the ground there say that that there's any debate between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward.
Well, you kind of glossed over it there. But I think that article I read was from CBS Sports. Yeah. I don't know. This is why I take all combine analysis with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You glossed over Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
You know, Joey was there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Our friend Joey Harrington. No. Did you know that?
I was not aware.
Yeah, he was there, and he surprised us on his phone call on Friday.
What was he doing in Indy?
From the combine. Well, they called him and Chad Pennington,
mm-hmm.
and they have them as mentors to half of the quarterbacks at the combine. In other words, they're just around. They, you know, if the kids have questions, they can ask the old guy. And they just kind of mentor them.
Sure, that makes sense.
So Joey was the first half of the alphabet,
mm-hmm.
and Chad Pennington was the second half of the alphabet.
Okay.
So Joey did have Jackson Dart
mm-hmm.
in his group, and I asked about Jackson Dart because I'm like, Jackson Dart has seemingly always been really good, has the measurables, and no one ever talks about him.
No.
And he mentioned some of that could be because of the offense that they run at Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Dart is going to need some time.
Yes, it is not an NFL offense.
But he loved him. He was impressed with Jackson Dart. Said he was very, he was just kind of himself. You know, the thing about, here, I'm going to read between the lines of Joey's segments mm-hmm. on Friday. And,
okay.
and Buck and I talked about this. So I asked him about all the quarterbacks, right? Or as many as I could.
Sure.
And, you know, Joey can't say bad things about any of the kids there, right?
Yeah.
Like, he can't do
no.
that.
And it's even tougher for him to say a lot of good things about one or two guys because it separates them from the rest.
Yeah.
So he has to hedge it a little bit.
So he, reading between the lines of what he said, you know, you can't really tell if a kid has it just by hanging with them,
mm-hmm.
but you can certainly tell who doesn't.
Sure.
And I thought that was a telling comment. And of course, I can't then say, well, no. who doesn't?
Yeah.
But he didn't say one word about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Not one. He mentioned a lot of different guys. He mentioned the Minnesota kid,
yeah.
whose name I can't remember. He mentioned Jackson Dart. We were talking about Dylan Gabriel. We were talking about Will Howard. We were talking about, God, who else? There were others. Never one word about Quinn Ewers, who was in his little
in his
group.
First half of the alphabet group.
Interesting.
In his little group.
Yeah. yeah.
So I read into that Quinn Ewers is going to suck.
It's possible.
How about that?
I like
how about
where
that
going.
For a hot take?
Well, Shuck, I know, was a...
Yeah, he didn't have Shuck.
I think Shuck came away, from my understanding, Shuck came away with the one that has a lot of draft buzz moving up boards. McCord, I think, is another one. Kyle McCord, the Syracuse, Ohio State product.
He didn't have him either.
People were pretty high on. People were pretty down on Will Howard. And then Dylan Gabriel, I think.
Well, Will Howard went viral for sucking.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw that.
He.
But his workout on, I think it was Saturday or
yeah.
Sunday.
Because that was, yeah, that him being terrible throwing the ball yeah. was after we had talked to Joey about
it. Yeah,
him
yeah.
Briefly.
It was over the weekend.
Balls on the ground.
Dude, he missed like set. They did a highlight reel of him.
It was bad, bad.
Or a low light reel yeah. of him. He yeah. looked like Cale Emshoff.
It's not good.
He missed like yeah. seven receivers.
Yeah, it's not good. And then Gabriel, I think Gabriel has solidified himself of, he's a backup. No one's going to draft him with any thought of being a starter. But you're hearing that Gabriel may have the safest outside of Sanders and Ward, who are clearly, you know, although Sanders now, maybe not. Of that second group of quarterbacks, and I would say even with Jackson Dart and McCord, a lot of people think that the highest floor is Dylan Gabriel, but it's also the lowest ceiling, if that makes sense. But for
the
highest floor, he will not suck. Like you, when you're drafting, you think oh, like you're
yeah,
you're just drafting.
But lowest, okay, yeah,
you can he's count on him being the most competent
right,
of them. But
right.
like he's not going to
he,
just.
All right,
go
I'm there.
He had a good
you.
Senior Bowl. Was okay at the combine. Not a big guy. Not a great arm. But he processes well, and he's done it enough. He is going, if you draft Dylan Gabriel, you are going to be drafting a very competent backup.
He'll be fine.
Well, and that, you want a backup who doesn't ruffle feathers and who's easygoing and who's a good team guy, and he has all of those things.
Perennial NFL backup, Dylan Gabriel.
Yes, I think you solidified, like, you think about, like, where Tyrod Taylor, like that, you know, sort of, he'll be a backup in this league for 12 years. And so I think, you know, people asking about him, he's not going to go in the first two rounds, but late third, fourth, I think Gabriel is a guy that has, you know, he's open to mice. He's a system guy, but maybe someone, you know, like the Denver Broncos, right? If you're looking for, again, although they may want more of a veteran quarterback, but someone who has a Sean Payton type coach that just wants a steady Eddie guy that, again, not going to ruffle feathers, that, you know, if I have to come in and play him in three games, he's going to keep us competitive and he's not going to turn the ball over and I'm not going to have to reteach him how to play the position. So I think there's where, because some people ask, oh, what about Dylan Gabriel? He's not in the conversation to be a riser or faller. I think he just is where he is.
What if the Broncos get Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, and then add Marcus Mariota to the practice squad?
The all-duck.
Why not?
Quarterback room. And I saw an interview with Sean Payton, and this, again, careful making any judgments out of the combine. Sean Payton said after the combine, he said Bo Nix did not look great at the combine. He said he didn't throw the ball particularly well, and they said that he was not their guy after the combine, that Bo Nix grew on them by watching tape and then interviewing him. And so, you know, there's a lot. We got 2 months before the NFL draft. I mean, the narrative on some of these guys, take a Shedeur Sanders. That can certainly change because a lot of the top guys didn't even work out. You know, we're seeing more and more guys that are first-round guys, especially at skill position, that are like, eh, you know, I'll see it my pro day. And maybe I'll run that. Or in some cases, may not run at all.
Well, there was another high-ceiling quarterback that they're talking about. Now, again, this is just from me reading, so I don't know. Maybe he's not this, but I want to talk about that when we get back. And what's with Tez Johnson? He did not have a good combine.
Or he did, depending on what you're, how you're measuring.
There's one thing that was really bad. It's the worst ever.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan. Somebody said on Good Morning Football, they compared Gabriel to Chase Daniels.
Yeah, I could see that. And Chase Daniels was one of the highest paid backups for a long time.
He's made like $40 million bucks or something?
Yeah. And look, there's a place in that for a guy that doesn't rock the quarterback room, is a smart guy, helps out. And just, I'm not going to say he's like a stable pony, but look, no one's drafting Dylan Gabriel to play and be a big part of their team. But you are drafting him to, again, get splits and be a competent guy if you need to call on him and just be a help in a room. And I think he is going to have a lengthy career. Don't think as much is going to come out of it, but...
And it makes me sad.
I think Dylan Gabriel will be just fine, but he lacks the measurables to really be a guy that moves any needles.
Well, he's squeezing the most out of his talent.
Absolutely.
Or what, you know, lack of.
Yeah.
And look,
it's not a great draft, but... And that should help him. Because in some drafts, he would get pushed much, much further back.
Well, that's very uninspiring, but I get it.
I mean, most people think this is a two prospect draft as far as like game changers, and one being Abdul Carter, who now has a busted foot, and that's going to be interesting to see what his medicals say. And the other one is Travis Hunter, which I personally don't believe is a game changer, but those seem to be the two blue chip prospects.
So the high ceiling quarterback I read about that they were saying, hey, you know, Jalen Milroe.
Boy.
And I know you don't like him.
I don't. I don't at all.
They compare him to, I was just reading up on him, Pro Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about, and you know, he does have he's just athletic.
Yep.
And that, of course, gets everybody salivating.
I hate it.
But his accuracy isn't there.
Nope.
His processing speed isn't there.
Nope.
And they were comparing him on PFF. They were saying Malik Willis situation in Green Bay is the path for Milroe.
Sure. I mean, I think
which is also a very uninspiring.
Well, to me, it's just he's Anthony Richardson with more football. And I don't know. I think Milroe took a step back this year. I think under their new offense, and we've seen why the hell can't I think of the former Washington coach's name, Kalen DeBoer. You would think under him that would have blossomed, and it didn't. In fact, the exact opposite. And I'll say this. I said it about Anthony Richardson. I'll say it about Jalen Milroe. I said it about Jake Locker. Now, to be fair, I thought this applied to Josh Allen, and that has been a real F you. Drafting a kid because he is big, fast, and looks great in his underwear, you can do that at most positions and make a case. I will never, ever understand why anyone does this for a quarterback. Because find me the last quarterback that was a poor performer that did not elevate his team at that position.
Christian Hackenberg.
That was a good athlete that ended up being a success, because I'll sit here and wait. You can say that Cam Newton wasn't necessarily a great quarterback. Cam Newton was a hell of a lot better than either one of those two, and Cam Newton elevated. Cam Newton elevated a very average Auburn team to a national championship, and Cam Newton was a tank. He was a one of one. And I'm sorry, but Anthony Richardson, how has that worked out? And Josh Allen was a better football player than either one of these guys that we're talking about. He just is at Wyoming, and I think a lot of times was underwhelming because of the competition when he played against the better teams. And even that took Josh Allen 2.5 years to not be an absolute just chaotic mess back there. So anyone that drafts Jalen Milroe and thinks that that is anything other than a long-term project, God bless you. Good luck.
Well, that's what they were saying. They were saying high ceiling.
Yeah,
it's kind of the same idea.
Yeah, someone said Will Levis. There you go. There's another one. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I will never understand our fascination. You do, when you look at the best quarterbacks in the league and the best quarterbacks to ever play, it's usually not the Adonis. Like, we fall in love with the high school quarterback, right? The All-American kid. 6'3", 235, you know, 5-sport athlete, you know, 19 different letters. Well, look at Mahomes and his feminine hips. Yeah, that worked out pretty good. The guy runs, you know, you watch him move around.
There might be some skin there.
And yet it works. Tom Brady works.
Was Mahomes getting all this love at the combine?
Mahomes was a sneaky riser to the point where maybe the media didn't catch on to him, but the Chiefs moved up to, was it 9 or 11 to draft him?
Yeah, I thought it was 12, but somewhere around there.
And it turns out that there were 6 or 7 other teams that were just crossing their fingers saying, please, please fall to us.
But the knock on him was he was a little bit erratic. He wasn't very
accurate. He played in a college system.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of what we're talking about with Jackson Dart. He didn't play in the NFL system and he was erratic. But now when you watch him play in Kansas City, that erratic ends up being kind of the best part of his game. And he was a guy that ended up being a much better NFL player than he was a college player, which again is another reason why the combine and tape is very hard, because like sometimes you watch players like Abdul Carter from Penn State. Like they say that guy is like the best player in the draft. And I'm telling you, you watch him play, he's good. You know, he's a nice player. That dude is not just this generational, oh my God, best college football player I've ever seen, but he's productive. And they say, hey, that is going to be much better at the next level. So even guys that get that label aren't necessarily the game wreckers. Like Aaron Donald, when you watched him in college, that dude, Aaron Donald might be the best college defensive lineman I've ever seen since Steve Ettman. And yet Aaron Donald wasn't a top 2 or 3 pick because people were like, he doesn't meet their measurables. It turned out he was pretty good. So, I mean, all of this is just educated guesses. And you got to take all this stuff from physical measurables to your makeup, how much you love the game, system you played in, what did they ask you to do in college. But that's the one position that I just will never understand why we fall in love with athletes at the quarterback position. Because while it's nice to have, you just don't have to be an elite all-world athlete to be good at that position. And we keep trying to force the round peg, square hole thing. And you do that with Jalen Milroe, you do it at your own peril.
Isn't it square peg, round hole?
Whatever.
I guess it could be either.
It could be either.
Most of the time
it would present
hole.
The same problem.
It doesn't fit.
That's right. Okay, well, let's put a pin in it. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple of the Ducks and how they performed at the Combine. We'll have our primetime stock watch. And then on the docket, we've got a Deebo Samuel segment coming up as well. This is Isaac and Zook on the Fan.